Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers.
And hey, who has cooler bumper music than we do? I love that. By the way, folks, that's the Goo Goo Dolls. It's a 1999 hit of theirs called Black Balloon. I love that stuff.
Yeah, it is cool. It's cool. Now, you know, you're asking me to compare it. It's like, there's a lot of cool bumper music out there. But I like it.
Ours is the best.
I like it.
Even if you don't like it. It's the best.
Okay. All right.
In fact, maybe it's the best because you don't like it.
You know, this is not an argument I'm going to probably win.
That's true.
So, moving on.
Hey, I saw you pay some sort of compliment to your wife yesterday on Facebook. What's all that about? What did you do that
well,
you
my
had to...
wife is always worthy of complimenting. And yeah. She does put up with me, and that does elevate her.
Look, I know you too well. There's more to this story. You've done something that you were doing penance for publicly.
No. What happened is I let my wife use my laptop, and my Facebook was open.
You got hacked.
Sort of. Yeah. So anyway, it was what I wrote was all true, but I just can't take credit for writing it.
So it was all true.
It was all true.
Well, maybe you're more humble than I thought.
So, yeah, I love my wife. That's true.
And she does put up a lot.
That's also true.
That's where I wanted to go with this, is the putting up with a lot part.
Oh, gosh, you've been around me. You imagine being around me 24/7 for 20?
Folks, we do not want to go there.
I mean, we've been married.
This show has standards.
We've been married 23 years. So, yeah. She's a hero.
Well, that's probably true. Even if she did hack your Facebook account.
Right. That's okay. I've done that to her before, too. So, out of love.
Out of love?
Out of love.
Okay. Explain that one to me. You hack Cheryl's account out of love.
Well, it's technically not hacking if I know the password, is it?
That doesn't get you out of this, all right? So explain this out of
we
love.
We just compliment part. Ourselves on each other's Facebook pages. That's all.
Yeah. Seriously? That's warped.
I need some affirmation.
You need something.
Hey, there's a lot of there's. I mean, I could write some mean things if I, you know, got on your Facebook.
Ooh.
Not that I would.
The scary thing is, I think you know my password too. That's
not your personal Facebook. I don't.
Oh, just my business page and so on.
I believe so. And it's not that I know the password. I think I'm just an administrator.
We do not want to test that. However, correct?
That's correct. I'm not like that.
No.
And even with I've done this to my kids too. It's something you don't do if you don't love the person and care about them. You're not going to do stuff like that, and you're not going to embarrass them on their Facebook page. So.
Well, that's good to know because I don't know what goes into the thought process of a Facebook hacker.
Yeah.
So it's good that you.
I'm not a hacker in the sense I'm creating a duplicate account and writing Yeah, I'm not a spammer. I'm not gonna write anything that's gonna embarrass the person I got on their account. It's just
all right. So
I'm gonna make it evident that they probably didn't write this.
Okay, so we've now spoken about how wonderful our theme music is, our bumper music,
right?
And we've also talked about you hacking your wife's Facebook page.
Yes, it just sounds so bad when you say it that way.
Well, sorry. So what are we going to talk about today that actually has, merit of some sort?
Well, I want to hear about you. You mentioned that you had a bad experience with Southwest earlier.
Well, yeah. We were in New England on vacation.
I'm shocked that you have a bad experience with Southwest Airlines.
Yeah, we ended up getting back a day late because they kept delaying a flight out of Boston. Well, there's a chain reaction, of course. You delay one flight, you miss another.
Oh, absolutely.
So we missed, or we were supposed to come back Tuesday. That didn't happen. We came back Wednesday, and we flew out of Providence, Rhode Island, instead of Boston, picking up an extra connection, hoping to avoid this problem. And it happened again.
Oh, wow.
But the good news is they, knowing that the last flight out of St. Louis to Des Moines was missing some passengers.
Yeah.
They held the flight.
That's nice.
So, yeah. They did do that.
Okay.
So we did get back the other night.
You weren't stuck in St. Louis.
But it was ugly.
I'm heading down that way this weekend to visit Kelvy Hannibal. Yep.
Kelvy's birthday.
Yeah, next week.
And she will be how old, Mr. Vanderhart?
20 years old.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel old.
Yeah, and you're starting to look old, too.
Thank you.
You know, it's a kind of a thing where you and I hang out together, and they don't know that there's an age disparity because of the way you look. How do you like that? Gotcha!
I'm not sure that's true, but okay.
All right, enough of this.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Well, we do have stuff we want to talk about now. We got only have 11 minutes in the segment to do it. I just want to play a few clips from the Commander-in-Chief Forum that was on NBC that was moderated by Matt Lauer. There were some interesting things done. We're going to try to get through as many clips as we can in the time we have left. Probably not going to get to all of it, obviously.
Because we burned a bunch of time talking about stupid stuff.
You know, frankly, you guys are more interested in hearing about my Facebook hacking than you are about, you know, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, right?
Well, I am.
You are. So,
inquiring minds want to know.
And it was amazing. Last week, we actually got through the whole show without talking about the election once.
That's
so
true.
That was really refreshing.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how it happened either, but it did. So, yay.
Stern determination, I tell you. Stern determination.
Well, we're going to be back on that bad course again.
We are. So, yeah, let's go ahead and play clip one. Hillary talks about the Iran deal.
Let me ask you about the Iran nuclear deal. It was signed under Secretary Kerry. It was begun under you. You
right.
started those talks. You have said you expect the Iranians to cheat. Mm-hmm. You think they'll buy time and perhaps stay along their course to building a nuclear weapon. If they cheat, Secretary Clinton, will you have any course of action other than a military course of action? Would you enter into negotiations with them again? Would you go back to economic sanctions knowing they cheated and are then closer to a nuclear weapon?
Matt, look, let me put this in context because this is one of the most important strategic questions we face. When I became Secretary of State, the Iranians were on a fast track to acquiring the material necessary to get a nuclear weapon. That had happened the prior 8 years. They mastered the nuclear fuel cycle, they built covert facilities, they stocked them with centrifuges, and they were moving forward. What was our decision? Our decision was to try to put together an international coalition that included Russia and China to exert the kind of pressure through sanctions that the United States alone could not do.
Right, but you said that you think you're going to cheat.
Look, this is an important issue. I know we're on TV. We don't have a lot of time.
I want to get to a lot of questions.
I will talk quickly. But I want people to understand this. So, yes, I put together the coalition. We imposed the sanctions. We got them to the negotiating table. And after I left, we got the agreement. That agreement put a lid on their nuclear weapons program and imposed intrusive inspections. I have said we are going to enforce it to the
Do you
letter.
Think they're playing us?
On the nuclear issue, no. I think we have enough insight into what they're doing to be able to say we have to distrust but verify. What I am focused on is all the other malicious activities of the Iranians. Ballistic missiles, support for terrorists, being involved in Syria, Yemen, and other places, supporting Hezbollah, Hamas. But here's the difference, Matt. I would rather, as president, be dealing with Iran on all of those issues without having to worry as much about their racing for a nuclear weapon. So we have made the world safer. We just have to make sure it's enforced.
Where do we begin?
Well,
where do we begin?
That's putting some lipstick on a pig.
Isn't it? Well said, Mr. Vanderhart. So, that's the first thing you said this morning I could really get behind.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. No, I mean, obviously, she's got to. She was involved in that deal. She has to defend it. So that's not a surprise. The fact that they said these are going to be enforced. Just all the loopholes and the steps involved in actual enforcement. I mean, it's ridiculous. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I looked at it, but we got the course. I mean, it's like a year after an infraction that they can actually.
The whole process.
Yeah.
It screams no teeth.
Right. Absolutely. So it's
for her
crazy
to say, well, you know, we don't need to worry about that anymore. I've got utter confidence.
Right.
It's just. It's incredible, actually. But the other thing is she starts in on all this other stuff that she's concerned with. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, so why is it that we've given them access to all of this money then?
Right.
If you're really interested in all the things right. that you ticked off there, why are we giving them money?
Right.
That's
absolutely
correct. Are you kidding
me? Yep. Yeah. I want to make sure we get this other clip in with Hillary Clinton, and we'll play one from Trump. She discusses classified emails. This is Rich. This clip
you
three.
Know, and I know, classified material is designated. It is marked. There is a header so that there is no dispute at all that what is being communicated to or from someone who has that access is marked classified. And what we have here is the use of an unclassified system by hundreds of people in our government to send information that was not marked. There were no headers. There was no statement, top secret, secret, or confidential. I communicated about classified material on a wholly separate system. I took it very seriously. When I traveled, I went into one of those little tents that I'm sure you've seen around the world because we didn't want there to be any potential for someone to have embedded a camera to try to see whatever it is that I was seeing that was designated, marked, and headed as classified.
Let us
so I did exactly what I should have done, and I take it very seriously. Always have.
Always have.
Always will.
And always will. Yeah. I think the FBI has something different to say about that.
She just keeps doubling and tripling down on the same old lines
right.
that nobody believes.
Right. And, you know, she's talking about all the headers and stuff like that. Yeah, you're talking about actual printed documents, but emails don't necessarily have all that.
I can't.
And they had a system. C. Oh, what does C mean? I thought it was alphabetic. That means classified. Hello.
I know this isn't relevant specifically to the clip, but I'm sure you've seen this too, Shane. She's made this comment all along about how she just had one device.
Yeah,
one device.
Oh yeah. Now she's got like 13.
There are 13 Blackberries. There's a handful of tablets and a PC that were all connected to this server.
Who goes through that many Blackberries?
I wondered that too. But now get this, and that this goes to your question. There's some of these units, these Blackberries, these devices. Apparently, that they, if I understood it correctly, they haven't been able to account for. They're lost. There were also some of these units. And this apparently was verified by the FBI. They were smashing these things with hammers over at the State Department.
Yeah.
But she only used one device.
Yeah.
But they're over at the State Department smashing up a bunch of devices with hammers.
One device. A BlackBerry.
Yes. I didn't use Apple.
I didn't use iPhone or Samsung.
I didn't use Android.
Right. So. Let's see. We got enough time. Let's play.
Different day, different lie, folks.
Yeah, Trump talking about Vladimir Putin.
some of the things you've said about Vladimir Putin. You said, I will tell you, in terms of leadership, he's getting an A. Our president is not doing so well. And when referring to a comment that Putin made about you, I think he called you a brilliant leader, you said, it's always a great honor to be so nicely complimented by a man so highly respected within his country and beyond.
Well, he does have an 82% approval rating, according to the different pollsters, who, by the way, some of them are based right here. Look,
he's also a guy who annexed Crimea, invaded Ukraine, supports Assad in Syria, supports Iran, is trying to undermine our influence in key regions of the world, and according to our intelligence community, probably is the main suspect for the hacking of the DNC computers.
Well, other than that, he's great.
That for a fact. But do you want me to start naming some of the things that President Obama does?
But do you want to be
time? Complimented
by that former KGB officer?
Well, I think when he calls me brilliant, I'll take the compliment, okay? The fact is, look, it's not going to get him anywhere. I'm a negotiator. We're going to take back our country. You look at what's happening to our country. You look at the depleted military. You look at the fact that we've lost our jobs. We're losing our jobs like we're a bunch of babies. We're going to take back our country, man. The fact that he calls me brilliant or whatever he calls me is going to have zero impact.
But the fact that you say you can get along with him.
I think I'll be able to get along with him.
Do you think the day that you become president of the United States, he's going to change his mind on some of these key issues?
Possibly. It's possible. I don't know, Matt. It's possible. And it's not going to have any impact. If he says great things about me, I'm going to say great things about him. I've already said he is really very much of a leader. I mean, you can say.
Yeah, he's very much of a leader. He's got good control of his country. Because that's what we need to emulate. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, we have in studio with us. I always love having in-studio guests.
Studio.
Usually they call in, but Tim was brave and actually wanted to be in physical proximity to us.
Now you guys are scaring me.
We took showers, Tim.
Yes. Just for you.
Good.
So we have Tim Overland, who's the executive director of Personhood Iowa. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Tim.
Thanks for having me, Shane. I've been wanting to come see you guys for a while.
Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you on. And you guys are involved with other groups. You're going to bring a movie in called Voiceless. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a large group of us. There's been about 15 or so of us pro-life, pro-family ministries meeting for the last, now since last December, basically every month. It's been really encouraging. But we decided, so we started seeing stuff about this movie here a few months ago and wanted to get involved. So we reached out and contacted Jason Jones with Movie to Movement and asked him how we could do that. So for some reason, we thought October would be a good time, you know, when everybody's having their banquets, to try to put together a movie blitz. And instead of just doing it in Des Moines, we thought, well, let's do it around the state. So we'll put it in places where there are pregnancy centers because the message of this movie. So the movie itself, Jason Jones, if you don't know who that is, or Movie to Movement, they did Bella.
Okay.
Crescendo is another short movie that I always recommend people go find. It's 15 minutes, but it's phenomenal. This was done by them. I've seen this movie. It's Hollywood quality, so I think we move beyond the cheesy Christian movies.
Can you talk about the basic plot without giving it away?
Yeah, yeah. Basically what it is, there's a church in Philadelphia. The main character... last name's Dean. I forget his first name. But anyway, he comes to work at the church, and he notices across the street there's an abortion clinic.
Okay.
And so he's trying to figure out, why is anybody doing anything about this?
Right.
So basically, Bella, we'll go back to Bella. That movie was designed to speak to women about the life issue and to get them to change their mind. This movie is specifically designed for the church and believers to get engaged in the fight for life.
I saw Bella several years ago, and that is an extremely well-made film.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I see here that Voiceless has been nominated for multiple awards and is also listed as a winner of several of these awards.
Yeah, it's.
I can't read which awards. This flyer is like, wow.
Well, I could have brought in the movie poster, which is as big as I am. So, but
that would be big.
It's very large. Yeah, I try to give it to people, and they're like, we don't have a wall big enough for that poster. But yeah, it's very well done. There's some actors in there you'll recognize. You know, not huge names by any stretch, but it's just a really well done movie. You know, if you go find the trailer, I think we have the trailer up on our website at personhoodiowa.com.
Okay.
On a blog that I wrote. But it's just well done. It's good action. It lays out, and it doesn't just point the finger necessarily at the church. It mm-hmm. actually gives answers on how we should be engaged.
Okay. So 10 cities in Iowa. What are some of these cities other than Des Moines?
Sure. Des Moines, Sioux City, Iowa City, Davenport, Council Bluffs, Cedar Falls, Cedar Rapids, Mason City.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, so we're trying to
cool.
Good mix.
Get around the state.
Yep.
So, and what other groups are involved with you?
There's us, there's the Family Leader, Iowans for Life, Informed Choices, Agape's working with us on this,
okay.
Ruth Harbor. So some of those, they're like, well, we can be quiet about some of this stuff. They don't want to be lumped in with us radicals. But because this movie is geared toward getting them help, they're seeing the value and how important this movie is.
Where's your cowboy hat, by the way?
Yeah, I haven't had one of those for a while. Actually, I have them, but I don't...
Of course, I guess it'd be tough to get the headset over it.
That would be. Yeah,
that was it.
I was worried about messing the hair up, too.
Yeah. Well, so, you said this is going to give them help, so proceeds go to?
We're going
to
raise some funds for that as well. What we're working on is bringing the Prayer for Life back to the Capitol. So we're hoping that we can raise enough money here, and we think we're going to be able to do that to cover the cost for that, so people aren't ponying up additional funds later. So that'll be in February.
Okay. Sounds good.
And you're hoping that these, excuse me, these theaters will have a run of a week or so each?
Yeah, it should be a week, I believe. I've never done one of these, so why not jump in with both feet and do 10 cities when you've never done one? But the people that are booking it tell me that that's their goal, is when they get it booked into a city, is to try to have it for a week. We're going to have our own private screening in those 10 cities on October 8th, on Saturday, October 8th. So,
okay. Well, as they say, go big or go home.
Yeah, right? You know, yeah, if you're going to make a big splash.
Do it right.
Right. So tell us a little bit about Personhood Iowa and what's the pro-life landscape looking like in Iowa from your perspective?
Personhood Iowa, basically, I guess I see us as kind of a facilitator. You know, if Ruth Harbor needs something, I think right now actually they're looking for new house parents, I believe. But so we try to help them find that. You know, we want to. I don't care really if anybody knows our name. I want people to know Ruth Harbor and Agape and Informed Choices and those type of groups.
And we've actually had representatives of all those groups on our show before.
They're phenomenal. Love those guys. And because Mark, God bless him, he knows how to run a maternity home.
Right.
That's not me. But I want
to
help Mark.
That's shocking to me.
No, come on. but Mark is. Mark. That's Mark's deal. And so I want him to not have to – here's my dream. I would love for him not to have banquets. That we, as the church, should, I believe we're called to, and I believe we could very easily fund all of these ministries because they're doing the church's job anyway.
Right. It just seems, yeah, having worked in a nonprofit, a Christian nonprofit for 10 years prior to doing what I'm doing now, with Serve Our Youth Network, I noticed churches a lot of times they're focused on what they're doing in their own neighborhoods, which is great, and they need to be, mm-hmm. or they look at overseas.
Sure,
but it seems like a lot of if you look at the Acts 1-8 progression, the Samaritan type ministries, the ones that are reaching out to people that aren't quite who we're used to working with in the
mm-hmm.
church,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times those ministries get overlooked.
Yeah, agreed. And I would, you know, I'm. We're coming up on banquet season, you know, in October, and a lot of them love to do that. You know, Rachel with Informed Choices, she must love it because she's doing five of them. Yeah. But
they're in several cities.
Yeah, they're going to hold one in each area. Yeah. So their thing is they like doing them because they get a share. And you know what? Let's do that. Let's fill up Wells Fargo and share victories of babies that are saved and lives that are changed and all of those things. But let's not do it because we have to keep our lights on.
Right. Right.
That's what I think mm-hmm. the church needs to step in. And yeah. that's really what drives me with Personhood, Iowa. How can we make that happen? How can we wake the church up? And that goes back to this movie. This movie does exactly that.
Okay. So, good deal. As far as the landscape, pro-life landscape in Iowa, where are we at in your perspective?
Well,
it's kind of frustrating, isn't it?
You know, it is. I should start wearing a hat to cover up this bruise on my forehead that I'm pounding my head against the wall some days. you know, it is frustrating, and I guess what's the most frustrating to me is that something as simple as decertifying Planned Parenthood as a Medicaid provider should have been done before we saw one of those videos last year. In fact, the code says that the governor not should, can, but must decertify a Medicaid provider if there's found to be a credible charge of fraud.
Mm.
And now we know the Suthayer case has moved forward reluctantly after 11 months. The judge finally moved it forward.
Yeah. And she's going to be speaking at her Caffeinated Thoughts briefing coming up on the 15th. Yeah, shameless
awesome.
Plug.
Yeah, there you go. She's awesome. Love Sue. But the governor still says, well, we got to wait till that's decided by the courts, and then, or we got to wait till we get the Senate back. And no, we don't. And that's the problem.
Right. He could do it.
He must.
Now,
the law says he must.
Oh, but he doesn't want to get sued.
Well, not in this case. He didn't care in other cases.
Yeah. 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 That's true. He it's not like he's lawsuit averse. I mean, he's taken on several hits.
Well, in the,
some things, you know, stands he's taken and agreed on, and some of the things he's being sued about, I'm not
scratch
so
your head.
Sure about. Yeah.
Well, the Alliance Defending Freedom said they'd represent him for free.
Huh. Well, there
they
you
wrote
go.
Wrote the brief for him.
And the taxpayers won't have to pay a dime for that. Hmm. Governor Branstad, not that he listens to the show.
Not today,
maybe
for
he
sure.
is one of the four guys that do listen to the show. You never
today.
Know.
He might have one of his people listen. We'll see. It seems like they always find out when I'm up to no good.
Well, that
they do.
You are making the right enemies.
That's
is
a
that
good.
What
that's
that
a good
is?
Point, Vanderhart. They always seem to know when you're up to no good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think we could do moving forward? Now, you and I probably have a little bit different. I know we have a different perspective as far as legislation's going, and that's fine. We can have a disagreement, but I think we
sure.
do have different difference opinion on strategy.
Let me I heard an argument just the other day from, you guys know Chuck Hurley, I'm assuming,
sure.
the family leader. I heard an argument from him, and if you don't know, you know, Chuck Hurley is with the family leader, is their second from the top. I don't know what his exact title is. He is also an attorney and a lobbyist.
Vice president, I think, is
it
his
vice
title.
President?
Yeah.
I'm not good with titles, I think we've established. But the interesting thing, and I heard this from him just the other day, and I'd never heard it put this way, and I loved it. After the court decision here just in July or June or whatever it was.
With the webcam. Texas, oh, Texas, gotcha.
The Texas, yeah. where they shot down the quote-unquote reasonable restrictions.
Right, right.
He was on a call right after that with the attorneys and a lot of pro-life people from around the country, and they tried to put a happy face on it, but basically the conclusion was nibbling around the edges and trying to regulate abortion is done. They've set the standard at undue burden.
Right.
So that's where he's come to the conclusion that a Life at Conception Act is the way we have to do it. And one of the things we like to say with Personhood Iowa is, you know, we want to win too. I know sometimes that's the charge. Well, we're never going to win with the personhood model.
Mm-hmm.
We want to win too. In fact, we take the point that the other side has told us that they're afraid of, and mm-hmm. that's what we're running with. And it's actually from audio from the Roe v. Wade hearing,
sure,
where they talk about the state.
Right.
Yeah, you know, putting a statute in that would say that the unborn child is a person and then getting the protections of the 14th Amendment.
Okay. And, well, frankly, I think at the federal level they could just establish and reemphasize the 14th Amendment without even a personhood amendment if they just have the backbone to do that.
Yeah.
That's key.
There's a huge if in there somewhere.
if, yeah. Lately I've not seen anybody with the backbone.
Not
to
a
do
lot
that.
Of them. No, very few.
Because I know, I remember, gosh, last election cycle, Robbie George of Princeton University, law professor, founded American Principles Project. Full disclosure, I work with them. Made that case with presidential candidates. You know, basically, you already have an inherent right to life in there because you can't. The state's not supposed to take life, or we're not supposed to take life without due process. Mm-hmm. And we give serial killers due process, but we don't give innocent babies, you know.
But let me ask you guys a question, and I mean, I'm all for trying that, but at the end of the day, in our present circumstances, I mean, even if we could get Congress and a president to sign off on all of that,
right?
Wouldn't we just have the Supreme Court walk in and say, "Ah, not so fast, guys"?
Well, that's what
I don't see a way forward.
You mean they're going to ignore their own previous ruling?
It's another day, isn't it? It ends in D-A-Y?
This goes to the big if that Shane just said, though. And that's why I think, particularly even in this election, because of the just disaster at the top of both tickets, that we need to protect ourselves locally. And we need somebody that says, no. Thank you for sharing, Supreme Court, and realize that their position that, in fact,
so you're talking nullification.
Nullification, basically. But what we have done with the Life at Conception Act that we proposed last year and hopefully will run forward this year is it says right in it, this is not reviewable by the state Supreme Court. So we've taken it out of their hands, and that's perfectly legal. They did it in Obamacare in several places.
Hmm.
You can tell the courts you have no jurisdiction.
Yeah. Because constitutionally, the legislature has the right to do that, according. So yeah.
A lot of people don't know that DOMA is still on the books in Des Moines, or in Iowa.
Yeah, that's true.
I've had state senators tell me that.
Well, hey, really? Tim, that time flew. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Tim
Good
Oberlin,
to see you, Tim.
PersonHoodIowa.com?
Yes.
Check it out. This is Shane Van Herwe with Brian Myers and Tim Oberlin. We'll see you next segment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give them a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news rundown, otherwise known as news you can use. First up, The New York Times is giving Matt Lauer some heat for the Commander-in-Chief Forum the other day.
Yeah, that we listened some clips from. Not so much just the New York Times. They're reporting on some of the heat he's been taking.
Granted 30 minutes with each candidate who appeared back-to-back at the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum in Manhattan. Mr. Lauer devoted about a third of his time with Mrs. Clinton to questions about her use of a private email server, then seemed to rush through subsequent queries about weighty topics like domestic terror attacks. When an Army veteran in the audience asked Mrs. Clinton to describe her plan to defeat the Islamic State, Mr. Lauer interjected before the candidate could begin her reply. "As briefly as you can," he said, one of several moments where the anchor spoke over Mrs. Clinton to remind her that their time was running short. And then Trump stormed on stage in his, quote, familiar motor mouth style, unquote, often talking over Mr. Lauer and declining to directly answer many of his questions. You think?
Yeah.
It's like, would Trump ever do that?
But, okay, I'm kind of curious. Is this meant to be a opinion piece?
Yeah. You're like, is this news with these kinds of comments?
This is interjecting opinion in a news article. Shocking.
That would never happen at the Gray Lady, right?
Right.
Oh, no.
Okay, this is from Town Hall. Earlier this week, during NBC's Commander-in-Chief Forum, today's show anchor Matt Lauer decided to engage in a rare act of journalism. And the left is not happy about it. Lauer, a member of the mainstream media, spent a significant portion of Hillary Clinton's questioning period asking about her ongoing email scandal, which, of course, she keeps making worse by lying and changing her story. This one might be an opinion piece. This didn't sit well with Democrats and progressives supporting her candidacy, who are accustomed to softball treatment. Amen to that.
No wonder she doesn't do press conferences.
Yeah, that's right. The Daily Show's Trevor Noah asks, what the was Matt Lauer doing? And CNN reported, NBC News knows the Commander-in-Chief Forum was not Matt Lauer's finest hour. That's how CNN put it. And then finally here in the Huffington Post, Matt Lauer fails the moderator test. You think maybe they have a thought about this?
Maybe.
An opinion about that?
The thing is, it's not like he took off the gloves with, at least the clips, I've yet to go back and listen to the entire thing, but some of the clips I've watched, he would ask follow-up questions and he would push Trump on certain things.
Well, and I have to confess, I was very surprised at how he went after Mrs. Clinton on the email scandal.
He went
after her hard, and the left thinks this is something we shouldn't be talking about. So one of their guys
doing that.
But they
do it all the time to Trump.
Well, yeah.
And it's like this.
That's different, Shane. You know that.
I know. And it's like, no, this is what they should be doing. If they're not, if a candidate's not answering a question, you need to rephrase it and ask it again. I mean,
now, that's a classic line in Town Hall when they say that Lauer decided to engage in a rare act of journalism.
Right.
Perfect. That's just perfect.
Crazy.
Next up, The Hill. Democratic senators anxious over Hillary Clinton's inability to pull away from Donald Trump have asked for some advice from their nominee. Or excuse me, have some advice for their nominee. Be more open, they say. Show your soul. Show your soul. What a scary thought. Focus on the economy. And
she
talk about...
I'm sorry.
She's a white woman. She can't have soul.
Oh, we're going there.
Hey, when she looks in the mirror, is there a reflection?
Gosh. That took me a second. Wow. Well, I think this story's done. We just need to move on.
Oh, no. We got to get down here to what Dianne Feinstein has
said. Yes.
She says, when you're a hit, or excuse me, when you are hit a lot, there's almost an unconscious shield that controls the answers to your questions. I think she's got to get rid of that and just let herself be. Everybody that knows her loves her. They know her heart is full.
Full of what? Blood.
Blood. Oh, boy.
Take the shield away from the heart.
Yeah, Joe Biden advised her to open up and let voters see your heart a little more.
Oh, well, she's afraid somebody's going to ram a stake through it. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, moving on. Hey, can you play this was an awkward moment this week for Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson. Play clip 11, please.
Sure.
What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Okay.
Well, with regard to Syria.
All right,
Syria,
you go ahead and stop it. All right.
Ouch.
A couple thoughts. I mean, Gary Johnson issue, he said, should I have known it? Yes. Here's the thing. Most people don't get that question phrased that way. What are you going to do about Aleppo? No, it's usually, what are you going to do about the Syrian refugee crisis?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really that important that our candidates, and I'll write up front, I'm not a Gary Johnson fan. There's some things that I like about him. There's some things that I don't. But just if this were anybody, if it were Trump, if it were Clinton, if it were Daryl Castle or anybody that was getting interviewed, the fact that he doesn't know Aleppo, and this was like super early in the morning, just out of the blue, out of context. I watched the context surrounding us. They weren't referring to Syria at all. Is it really that unreasonable that a candidate could, wouldn't think, make that connection right away?
Well, a couple of thoughts on this one, Shane. I think at least in part, I could be wrong about this, but it strikes me that because of the libertarian view of foreign policy, I don't think this is a particularly highly important issue for him.
He we could have played the whole clip. He actually does talk about Syria quite a bit on the stump. He didn't when he was in Des Moines.
Well, I think though, just about anybody else who would have been asked that question probably would have had the correct answer because foreign policy to the other parties is extremely important.
That's
and what's
probably
going
fair
on
to,
yeah. and what's going on over there with ISIS and all the rest of it, they're going to know the details.
I think that's fair. Also, that we need to point out that the two major party general election candidates are also getting classified briefings.
Gary Johnson is not.
You need a classified briefing to know Aleppo. Here's the thing. Okay. President Obama said he back in 2008 before he was elected, hey, I was campaigning in 57 states. Media crickets.
I remember that.
Hillary Clinton doesn't know what C means in her email. That means classified. But we're gonna give Gary Johnson a hard time because he didn't immediately recognize Aleppo.
Well, look at all the stupid things that Biden has said.
Right, but he went through and he did talk about. He actually brought up some of the players involved in the Syria refugee crisis. So it's obviously he's not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And other comments like, this is what weed does to you. Maybe this is a good campaign or a good commercial for why you shouldn't be smoking, pot.
You know, what this really reminded me of was that moment several years ago with Sarah Palin when they asked her about the Bush Doctrine. And she wasn't familiar with what exactly it meant.
Right.
And it turns out that everybody went around saying, oh, everybody should know what the Bush Doctrine is.
Hey, this is Caffeine.
Nobody did.
Nobody did. Caffeine Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Rules, rules, rules. Why does God have so many of them? He's just too restrictive, and you feel he's limiting your freedom to grow. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. While back, we adopted four cute, cuddly chicks just a few days out of their shells. I was impressed with how quickly they learned and grew, all without the benefit of chicken examples. In some respects, these resourceful chirpers didn't seem to need us at all. However, that fateful day when they chose to escape our attempts to protect them, they met their premature place on the food chain. We were heartbroken and frustrated, yet also reminded that we too face one who seeks to devour us, that roaring lion, Satan. Remember, the loving confines of God's Word are for your protection, not your restriction. To find that safe place with God, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, there was a clip we didn't get a chance to play first segment because I know you guys want more Trump. There's a comment he was asked about the generals by Matt Lauer because Trump has said some controversial things about the generals.
Never.
Oh, yeah. Well, he has. Anyway, we wanted to play that clip for you as we in our last segment here. Go ahead and play clip 10, Ron.
Let me read some of the things you said. I know more about ISIS than the generals do. Believe me. Was that the truth?
Well, the generals under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton have not been successful.
Do you know more about ISIS than they do?
I think under the leadership of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, the generals have been reduced to rubble. They have been reduced to a point where it's embarrassing for our country. You have a force of 30,000 or so people. Nobody really knows, but probably 30,000 people. And I can just see the great, as an example, General George Patton spinning in his grave as ISIS we can't beat.
Yeah, you said if we had MacArthur today or if we had Patton today, we would not have ISIS. That the rise of these military commanders that we have today, they come up the chain of command, and by the time they get to the top, they're too politically correct. And we know that's not a compliment coming from you. Have you lost faith in the military commanders?
I have great faith in the military. I have great faith in certain of the commanders, certainly, but I have no faith in Hillary Clinton or the leadership. You look at what's happened, and, you know, when she comes in and starts saying, oh, I would have done this, I would have... She's been there for 30 years. I mean, we need change, Matt. We have to have it.
Well, in Hillary Clinton's defense, being first lady as part of those 30 years doesn't really count because... she had nothing to do with the military.
That's right. Well, on the other hand, you would hear the Democrats argue that that was very vital to her experience that she brought to the table.
Yeah, I would disagree.
Me too. I'm just saying, remember that whole business about the 3 o'clock in the morning phone call?
Right.
And how it was going to be good if she answered the phone, but not so good if Barack Obama answered the phone, because after all, she's so experienced.
Well, we know that when Beth Gansey, she didn't answer the phone at all. So,
maybe she got a message on her BlackBerry.
Perhaps. Which one?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It was one of them that she apparently lost.
Yeah. Okay. He totally avoided, you know, basically the premise. Why do you think you know more about ISIS than the
I thought Lauer did a nice job of going after him.
I thought that was good. That was it was insanely stupid thing for Trump to say.
Yep. Somebody needed
he didn't
to call
really
him
make
on
up
it.
For it with his answer. Are the status basically? Let's first of all, with our military, it's not the general's fault. They're just simply they have a chain of command and they're doing what their commander in chief tells them to do. That's what they do. They can't you know go rogue and implement their own policies and their own agenda. That's not how the military works. So. To blame the generals is just crazy. Anyway, we could go on and on about this.
Say that ISIS wouldn't exist if we had different generals. I mean, what a...
That's just, not, yeah.
Not how do you true. Respond to not nonsense true. Like that?
Anyway, I think it's pretty safe to say we will not have Donald Trump at the Caffeinate Thoughts briefing. it's coming up October...
Really?
Yeah, really. October 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Johnston. It's a Christian Worldview conference for students and adults. And we're going to be at the Johnston Lions Club. You can go to ctbriefing2016.com to register online. We encourage you to do so. Right now we have an early bird rate going on. That's $20, I believe. But we're going to be looking at how the church intersects with our society and culture and how Christians should individually
And as the church collectively respond to things like ISIS and the rise of terrorism, especially domestic terrorism, how to address the LGBTQ agenda and those who promote it, how to address our growing threat to religious liberty and the abortion cult industry and the culture of death our courts continue to defend. How can we address that? And as well as a culture that's
talk
increasingly
about the food. Quick.
Hostile to our faith and Smokey D's. We're catering.
Smokey D's barbecue, so, baby.
And also we already announced Cal Beisner is going to be one of our speakers.
And Dr. Robert Gagnon is going to be there.
And we'll be making more announcements as it comes. CT Briefing 2016. This is Captain Thoughts Radio. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Take care, everybody.